on Triple J.
Hello, listeners of the podcast. My name is Veronica and my trusty steed here.
You don't know what steed means, do you?
No, what is it?
It's a horse.
My trusty companion here.
I mean, I'll be a horse, I guess. Yes. Like a Mr. Ed style companion. Put some peanut butter in my lips and watch me go.
Yeah, I mean, if no one's seen photos of you online, you could well be a horse.
How dare you? I'm could not at all equine in nature.
Hey, the best part of the week, and I don't know if you also think the same listening to this podcast, but for me, it was when I got a phone call that said, Ron, Mark Foster's on the phone for you. Yeah, I'll take the call.
Pretty much what happened there is me standing around awkwardly while Veronica flirted pretty hectically with a married man.
Yeah, I do know he's married because I've looked it up a few times.
Just keep checking.
Yeah.
It's a Google alert.
What a hell of a time he's been having, plus the band, you know, but let's go back to Mark. He's been on some wild travels, getting inspired to make some new music, just released an EP, in fact, on Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. But yeah, shared a new song with us and was talking all about it.
Also, the UK heavy band Architects, metalcore outfit, are in town for Groove and the Moo. They dropped by, and one of the things that they're doing on their tour is they picked a new Unearthed band as their support on every sideshow, and we played them the reactions to those Unearthed bands had when they found out that they were going to be playing with Architects, and they were stoked, and then Architects were stoked, and it was a real stoked on stoked affair. It was cute as hell.
But the thing that you need to ask yourself right now, I guess, is have you ever had a love song written about you, or have you ever written a love song? How did it go down? Because you'll hear exactly what happened for one guy, Daniel. We're calling him the Mocha Boy. Mm. What happened when he wrote a love song for a waitress? He sent it to us. We're sending it right now to you.
And Mark Foster from Foster the People joins you on the line right now. Mark, are there other voices in another language in that track?
Oh.
Or does it just sound like
the
it?
High-pitched ones. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, there is. I couldn't tell you which language, but we flipped some stuff and twisted it and reversed it.
Got some Missy Elliott on there.
Yeah, exactly. But man, that song like drove me crazy trying to finish it. You know, with our band like approaching something that's like a little bit more beat driven and kind of lyrically taking like a different approach than what I've done in the past. You know, I probably wrote and rewrote and re-recorded and tried to do different melodies over that 30 different ways until we finally landed on something that we all felt like was, you know, a good marriage between something that was familiar for, you know, Foster the People for our sounds, but also something that was, I think, evolved in some new territory that we hadn't explored yet. You know, a lot of the, like, fresh hip-hop and how that's evolved over the last few years, wanting to kind of pull some of that into our new record, I think has become kind of the sound of this new album.
And do you think that's Isom's sort of influence on it? You were saying Isom Innes is a collaborator that you've worked with on this particular album, but he's been in the band for a long time, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like, it's a lot of his influence. I mean, Kids Got Soul.
Are there other voices on this album apart from you? I know in the past you've collaborated with people like Kimbra and Luke Pritchard from the Kooks.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, actually, there's a song on this record that me and Isom wrote with Jenna Malone, the actress, actually. She's a good friend of mine. So she's featured on the record. I mean, you'd know her stuff from, you know, Donnie Darko to, the Hunger Games stuff to, I mean, a million other things. She's been acting for a long time. But we all went into the studio one night together and with no, like, preconceived notion of what we were going to create and kind of walked out with this kind of Pet Sounds, a 60s kind of psychedelic tune that she's singing on with me. You know, I would say that's probably the only real feature on the record that's, you know, apart from my own voice.
And do you have any idea when the album's going to be coming out?
We're thinking top of summer for us, so I guess kind of beginning of winter for y'all. Probably like June, July.
Because you do have a pretty packed schedule till then. You're going to be touring around the States and around Europe as well. Are you thinking Australia will be on the cards for you guys this year?
God, I hope so. You know, I'm hoping that at the end of the year we'll be able to come over there and see you guys. I think we all have like a really strong affinity for Australia because, you know, you were the first, actually the first internet, first time we ever traveled outside of the U.S. to play a show was in Australia in, I think, 2011. You know, really, you guys were the first country kind of outside of our own to embrace us. And so we're trying to get out there, hopefully, after we're done with our fall tour here in the States.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Mark, I want to ask, there's a bit of a countdown going on your social media at the moment. Is that related to, what's that related to?
Well, we're putting out some new music. So we're putting out an EP before the record comes out. I guess, you know, that's related to that. So keep your eyes open. Keep
right.
your ears open.
Yeah, because that's going to be coming soon. That countdown's going pretty quick. I think it's at like 4 at the moment, but it's, you know, it's going down in a matter of hours.
Yeah. It's all coming. It's all happening right now.
So is that an EP that has like three tracks on, the three tracks that you played at that South African music festival, Rocking the Daisies? And will it include Pay the Man?
Oh, wow. You have been doing your research. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're so bad at keeping secrets. I love it, Mark.
Pay the Man, Doing It for the Money is another one. And then a song called SHC, which stands for Sacred Hearts Club. Mm. Those are going to be the three.
So they're not even on the album. This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I think it's like a little taste of what's
okay.
to come.
Right.
Awesome. Well, there's so much new music from Foster the People, which makes us and lots of people around Australia very happy. Thanks so much for the new track, Pay the Man. And hopefully, Mark, we'll catch you back in this country very, very soon.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, guys. It's been great talking with you. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and you're also joined by Jess Perkin, Triple J's very own text therapist. Not qualified, but very talented.
Very enthusiastic.
Yeah. Maybe too enthusiastic.
You know how we were talking to Holly from Cairns just before about her dilemma? Someone just brought up a really interesting thing on the text line. Has Holly told her best mate, who could potentially be a lover, about her age yet?
Yeah, that's right, because he didn't know that she's, I think, 27 and he's 21.
No.
It wasn't even that much. I don't think it was
more than that in my memory.
It was less, because you approved. You weirdly approved like a French president style age gap.
Under 75 is fun.
Yeah.
That was my impression of you, Ron.
It was spot on. She was like 4 or 5 years old. It was totally fine.
Right. What's the dilemma you're covering this week, Jess?
So Corey from Central Coast has said that he doesn't normally have problems talking to girls except this one girl that he thinks may be the one, and he finds it difficult to start conversation and then keep it going as well.
Okay.
So that's what we're dealing with.
Have we got Corey on the line there?
Yes, we do.
Corey, how you doing?
How you going?
Yeah, good. I'm way into this because I'm curious to know, like, if there's someone that you can't talk to, what makes you think she's the one?
Well, we were really, really close back in the day, and I ended up moving away, and then I really thought that she was the one, and I don't know what to do about it.
Okay, and how do dates go now? You just can't think of much to talk about together?
When we do talk, it's all right, but we can't just keep the conversation going. That's the thing.
Okay,
Jess, what's on your mind here?
Okay, well, a couple of things are coming to mind. So firstly, I would suggest maybe come prepared. List of questions in hand, you know, cue cards, not the worst thing you can bring with you on a date, you know, so that you're prepared. If conversation kind of fizzles out, bam, you got the next one.
Mm.
Other thing you could try is maybe do an activity together. You know, instead of just sitting there over coffee or drinks, maybe you go do something. Like you could go rock climbing. You could play ping pong. You could play mini golf.
Cool.
Go to a music. Rock climbing is cool. And then you got something to talk about later. But also, Corey, I reckon, you know, you've got that third option of just roll with it. Just roll with the silence, you know, like embrace it, if anything.
Make it like a 60-year marriage right from the start.
Yeah.
Sit at a cafe and just stare out the window.
I like the idea of the activity because I feel like a lot of couples do that anyway. They'll be like, let's have kids as something to be the activity.
No, not yet.
Then you'll always have something to talk about.
What was your last, like, adventure date, Jess? Is this an experience of yours?
I went on an adventure date yesterday.
What?
Ooh.
Well, by adventure date, I mean like we were rock climbing. No, we went for a drive out into the mountains, but it was raining really heavily. So then we just went home. It's very exciting.
Okay.
Heaps to talk about now, though.
All right. Well, 0439757555. What do you reckon Corey from the Central Coast should do? He's having trouble talking to the girl that he thinks is the one. Should he A, prepare a list of questions? B, do an activity together? Or the other option is just roll with them silences. If you've got any like experience with or any of those things to back up which one you reckon that Corey should do, 0439757555.
Yeah, we definitely know someone who takes a list of topics to date, like a mental list.
Imogen from Newport, what do you think Corey should do?
Hi. Well, there's this thing called 36 Questions, and I read about it online. It's actually like in the New York Times and stuff. And it's 36 questions, and it's all that it takes to fall in love, apparently. I've actually done it with my boyfriend, who's, like, super shy. And so we had this road trip, and it was, like, a little bit stifled conversation. So we did these questions, and it's amazing.
What are some of the questions?
So it kind of starts off easy, like, you know, who would you like to be famous? In what way? Who would you invite to dinner and all that kind of stuff? And then it gets a lot deeper, like how close and warm is your family? What is your most treasured memory? And, yeah, it kind of gets deeper into, like, personal things. So if he thinks that this girl's definitely the one, then, like, that's a really good way to figure it out.
That's a really genuinely great suggestion. Do you feel intimidated, Jess?
I think Imogen has taken my job. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's like the Phantom. Once you die, Imogen will take your place.
Okay, and Mitch from Warrengamba, what do you reckon Corey should do?
I say he does a mixture of both the date and the activities. I mean, I don't have any relationship experience, but why not? Sure, you can do both relaxing and adventurous abilities, I suppose.
Jack from Melbourne, actually, suggested you can kind of angle an activity to suit your own self. He's like, I used to take dates to see Shakespeare because I studied it, so it meant I had heaps to talk about and seemed really intelligent.
Nice.
It's quite cunning.
That is pretty good.
That's pretty smart, yeah.
Corey from the Central Coast, what are you thinking about all of these so far? What do you think of Imogen from Newport's very mature suggestion?
The 33 questions, is it?
36.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Oh, 36. Oh, whoops. that's a really good idea. I think I might adopt that one.
Yeah, I mean, could be good. You could even keep it in the notes in your phone or something. So, you know, it looks like you're just checking your messages because you're so busy. Or you have to be out and proud about it, do you?
I think you'd be out and proud and you're like, hey, I've got this game we could play. It'll be fun.
Yeah. That's
cute.
I think everyone's getting on board with 36 questions on the on the text
36
line.
36 questions is a good one.
Yeah.
It's majority 36 questions.
Oh, yes!
So the last part of the 36 questions, according to the text line, is that you stare into each other's eyes for 4 minutes straight. So you just get to roll with the silence as well.
4 minutes?
Ticks all the boxes.
Well, Jess Perkins, I mean, I'd say you've done it again, but frankly,
Imogen's done it. Imogen's done it.
This time, but you certainly helped to get us there. Thank you, Jess Perkins.
Thanks, guys.
Veronica and Lewis hanging out with you on this Wednesday afternoon and hearing about the thing you thought was normal but isn't after a politician, well, wannabe politician?
Yeah, she's not actually a politician.
Okay.
She was trying to get a place in the UK Independence Party.
Yeah, after she was like casually mentioned that she's attracted to gorillas.
Yeah, when I go to a zoo, I see a gorilla, my hormones go absolutely crazy, I find the gorilla very attractive. She did try to wind it back later and say it was a joke, but that's, I mean, I haven't heard it because it's in print, so it's hard to get the tone.
Nah, that's out of nowhere. That's so, it's like not referencing anything. She's obviously thought about that before, about finding gorillas attractive, and then everyone was like, that's not relatable.
Although it is, as we've discussed, it is, because as you well know, there are lots of people who find like the horse is hot or the kangaroo is hot.
Yeah, can I out my mum as she was saying the other day, oh no, not about being into horses.
Yes, I know your mum pretty well. This could get weird.
This is the thing she thought was normal, but certainly isn't. She always reads the last few pages of a book before starting it.
No,
yeah, she
that's
does.
Sick.
And she thought that other people did that too. It's absolutely, no, it's not normal.
That's wild.
Yep. What about someone sent you a text going, one of the guys from San Cisco thought it was normal to sit straight on the toilet bowl with no seat? That's awful. That's just an education problem.
Is that slanderous? Is that something? Is that someone from some other band or something? Or do we actually hear that in an interview?
I'm not sure. Jai from Yarrawarra, what do you think was normal?
I used to cut holes in between the legs on the undies because I used to chafe up, and it sort of stopped. It gave more airflow going.
So whereabouts in the undies did you cut the holes?
Right in the middle, like between the legs. Gooch.
Oh, like a little gooch flap.
Yeah, a little gooch flap.
Interesting. And how did that go?
Yeah.
It went all right until one day I wore one of those pants playing footy. And we're doing some stretches and someone pointed it out.
Oh, no. And were you like, why, everyone does it?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is a normal man. What are you talking about?
That's pretty interesting, though. Like, full props to you for just, like, seeing a problem and just fixing it right there yourself instead of, you know, suffering decades of chafe. Like, I reckon there's room for that else out there.
Yeah, totally. Ashlyn from Mornington, what do you think was normal?
So when you've gone to the toilet and you've done number two, to wipe, I stay seated, and I found out through a interesting conversation, I don't even remember how it came up, but my partner stands up to wipe, and now I don't know. I don't know who's weird and who's not.
Okay, he's weird, I
yeah.
think.
I mean, we don't like to use the term weird because, you know, as Veronica said, safe space.
Okay.
But I would say, yeah, from a pure numbers perspective, I reckon you're in the majority pretty significantly.
Well, I thought so, but I've, I mean, obviously it's not something that you can just like, hi, how are you? Do you stand up to wipe? But, like, I have asked a few people and it seems to be split, like, fairly 50-50.
No, yeah. It isn't. Who are you asking? I guess I've never asked either.
Yeah,
none of us asked. I didn't even know that this was a thing, and then like total paradigm shift. It's been a real eye opener.
God, this feels like Billy's
Don't
bomb.
Say eye opener. Yeah.
That's not what a bum's called. That's weird, Lewis. Do you even think that? Emily from Doreen, Victoria. How you going?
Yeah, I'm good. How you going?
Yeah, good. What do you think was normal?
Like when you go to a family do and you see all your family again, and as a greeting, you kiss each other, but like on the mouth.
Oh, you know what? We've talked about this before because we watched some, it was like an ad. It was like a full national TV ad, and there was this family. It was like a real textbook family, and they were all kissing each other on the lips. And Veronica and I were like, whoa. And then we wondered if we were the problem.
Oh, normal, yes.
Yeah, no, that's right. There actually are a lot more people that do it than we originally thought.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not like alone. I mean, don't get me wrong. Oh. From my point of view, you're a freak show. But but that's just me. You're definitely not alone. Yeah, no, you're right. There are others like you. So that's exciting news.
And Zach from Melbourne, you want to get involved in the standing versus sitting chat from before. G'day, Zach.
Zach, is he there?
G'day.
I can hear him rustling
can
around.
You hear me?
Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, great.
We're rocked by this, I got to admit.
Yeah, I know, right? I was actually in Berlin and we were all sort of having beers with a bunch of people we didn't really know. And everyone started talking about it. And yeah, the whole table was like 50-50.
So is the text line, Zach. It's really weird. So if you've just tuned in, yeah, we're talking about when you go to the toilet. I didn't bring this up, by the way.
Yeah, don't get the opinion that this is that we go straight for toilet chat.
Yeah.
We try to avoid it, but here we are.
And so a bunch of people, mainly dudes, may I say, on the text line stand up to wipe their ass. And Zach, which one are you?
I'm definitely sit down. I thought it was really, really weird that anyone stood up.
Totally. So did I. But now
I
realize
heard of it before.
We've just been in the sit-down bubble and all the people in the stand-up were in the stand-up bubble.
Because I know.
People are just saying like, someone's like, oh man, I had no idea I was in the minority. I'm a devastated stand-up wiper. It's legit 50-50. I did not see this coming. I don't quite know what to do with this information. I don't necessarily want to dwell on it for too long, but it's really changed my perspective of the world.
Yeah, like this, you don't know what's going on in the cubicle next to you. Anything.
Anything's possible in the world now, you know? This is
crazy.
A paradigm shift.
Hey, if you were listening to the radio yesterday, you would have heard that it got a little lowbrow. It got slightly blue yesterday, and it wasn't our fault, actually.
No, it often is your fault.
Yeah.
Particularly with poo stories. Often you're bringing them up.
Yeah.
But this one was not your fault. Totally, you're in the clear on this.
Yes. So we were talking about things that you think are normal but then discover are not. And Ashlyn from Mornington contacted us with this debacle.
So when you've gone to the toilet and you've done number two, to wipe, I stay seated. And I found out through a interesting conversation, I don't even remember how it came up, but my partner stands up to wipe. And now I don't know. I don't know who's weird and who's not. I mean, obviously it's not something that you can just like, hi, how are you? Do you stand up to wipe? But like I have asked a few people and it seems to be split like fairly 50-50.
No, yeah. It isn't.
And then the research from the text line was, in fact, that it was true. Ashlyn from Mornington was absolutely correct. It was about split 50-50 of people who stand up to wipe their bottom.
Shocked us, didn't it?
And we've been hit from every direction about this. Even on our Facebook, you know, Michelle's contacted us saying she's got a theory. She reckon it depends how long your parents were wiping your bum for you.
Yeah, but we were like, how do we find out an answer to this without dragging it on for too long? We just thought, well, let's go to the guy who has answers for everything, Dr. Carl.
A friend of mine did this when he went out back for a while, and he said the thing is to have the right diet and muscle control so that there is zero need to use any toilet paper at all. I would have thought that most people would go for maximum exposure, maximum cleaning area, and therefore go for the sitting rather than standing where you have some contraction bringing it harder. I do not know the answer on this, and I'll have to go searching through the medical literature.
Well, I hope he does, and I hope he gets back to us, because that was a cop-out answer.
I really just wanted it to be a full stop.
Yeah, me too.
Didn't want this to drag on.
Going.
And Groove in the Moo is kicking off tomorrow in Wayville in Adelaide, South Australia. An incredible lineup coming through from amazing local acts to some incredible people popping in from overseas, including the Architects, who were super stoked to have Dan from Architects joining us right now. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Yes, I'm feeling good on this fine... Is it a Wednesday?
No,
it's a Thursday.
Yeah, of course, because you're in Adelaide and straight after this you can duck out and check out some of the best bits. Rundle Mall, head there.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I'm one of those hippie vegans and there's loads of vegan places here. So I'll go find somewhere nice to eat.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining.
Your veganism is talked up a lot on your Facebook page, actually, by people getting in touch from, Groove in the Moo, talking about some petting zoo. Have you been seeing that?
I haven't seen that. Yeah. I haven't seen that. Can you tell me more about that? That sounds interesting.
It seems like, I don't know, people are trying to get you involved in some sort of campaign, which I imagine happens a lot.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything about that. Yeah, so I can't comment.
No, okay.
For the best.
Yeah. So what do you know about Groove in the Moo apart from the fact that there's a petting zoo there now?
It's a very interesting question. It doesn't seem your average festival. Obviously it's a very sort of diverse and eclectic bill. Notably, we're the only heavy band on it, but I was made aware that is sort of the format by which the festival runs every year, and I spoke to friends in North Lane and Parkway Drive and Amity Affliction who have all done it in years past, and they all said it was a good time, and you know, we'd really enjoy it. So you know, obviously with the exception of Adelaide, you're kind of out of the major cities, the usual spots that we come through when we're over here, so it'll be nice to play some people that perhaps haven't seen us before, haven't had the opportunity, places like Maitland, as you say, it's a 2 or 3 hours outside of Sydney. Is that right? My Australian geography isn't so hot.
There's a lot to know. It's a big place.
Yeah. Well, I know the sort of five cities that bands go to, international acts at least. And beyond that, I'm a little bit lost, but it'll be nice to go out to those, some of those more remote places and play some new faces.
Well, one of the hallmarks of Groove in the Moo is because there are a lot of people who maybe don't get to as many festivals as others, and it's all ages. So a lot of people going there for their like first festival and just really froth it. Like they're just real, like
it gets
pretty loose once the sun goes down.
Well, there's that sort of enthusiasm I can imagine that you see in, you know, we see it in countries that don't get so many shows, like when you go to South America or Southeast Asia, or even like Russia, where there's just this mad enthusiasm just to be at the show. You know, it's I suppose you would say that in more major cities, there's sort of you know, people are more used to seeing live music in Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne and whatnot than Townsville, for instance.
Do you have any gig or festival that sticks out in your mind as having been particularly loose that you've played recently?
Do you know what? We play all sorts of weird festivals in like Eastern Europe, where the lineup is like, I don't know, it can be. There's bands that like, it's very diverse. There'll be like a dub band, and you know, I guess you comparable to groove in terms of the how eclectic it is. But you get these like, you know, the band before us will sound like I don't know, like a Kazakhstani oi punk band, and then we'll play, you know, and people just like love all of it. You know, they don't really discriminate by the genre. They just are happy to be there. So we've definitely played some crazy ones in that part of the world. So I'm hoping that Groove in the Moo is comparable to, you know, your average Bulgarian festival.
Totally.
I reckon, yeah.
Definitely,
yeah, that's yeah. Definitely,
I hope
been...
that doesn't sound bad.
No. We've been getting a lot of Bulgarian comparisons recently. You're not the
that
first, don't worry about it.
A compliment. I mean that as a compliment, sincerely.
But last time you were here, Dan, was, in Australia last September, you were supporting Bring Me the Horizon. But yep. It was sort of cut short because mm-hmm. Ollie was sick. Was that your biggest yes. motivation to kind of come back straight away?
We already knew we were coming back.
Okay.
We sort of swung it a little bit, I suppose, publicly to look like we were coming back sooner because of that. Ooh. In some kind of media spin
well
operation to make us look better.
Well, the curtain's really come down now.
That. We hire a spin doctor. That's not true. I mean, I heard him; he couldn't speak, and
yeah,
that's a tough one when you're a vocalist. So you know that was out of everyone's control, but nonetheless, it's just so disappointing to be all the way out here. It's not exactly a trip down the road for us, and you know, obviously, well documented, we had been through a very difficult time in our personal lives, and we just kind of wanted to get back on tour and do some shows, and so it was disappointing that it was, you know, it just was one of those things that couldn't be helped. But I'm glad that we're back now, and we couldn't play Adelaide and Melbourne on that tour, and we're still not playing a headline show in Adelaide. I'm sorry.
That's all right. They can catch you at Groove in the Moo. You're there,
yeah.
You know? You're in town.
Yeah, that's what we said.
But yeah, you were mentioning just before that you've had a kind of well-documented tough year for you and the band with the loss of your brother, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys from Bring Me the Horizon, when we had them in to have a chat, they were talking about how they were excited to be touring with you as a kind of celebration of getting back together. Do you and Bring Me the Horizon go back a bit?
Oh, to the very sort of inception of both of our bands. The first time I ever met Bring Me the Horizon was the first show we ever played out of our hometown. So maybe it was in Leeds in, I want to say, 2005, maybe. So 12 years ago or thereabouts, it was the first time we met them. So yeah, we go a long way back. I think our third tour ever was with them, but we've toured the UK a bunch, US a couple times. They're half an Australian tour. We are very fond of those guys, and we were very appreciative that they offered to take us on their Australian tour.
And now you're passing along that exact same mitzvah to a bunch of Australian bands.
I know.
Chosen
what
from Unearthed.
Legends we are.
Yeah, it is very, very lovely.
Just got to give something back, haven't you?
Well, if you didn't hear it, we had a great pleasure of being able to tell the bands that they were going to be supporting you, and they were mm-hmm. stoked. Here's just like a couple of the reactions from some of the bands.
Okay. Oh, no way, dude. Really? Get out. That is some news, man. That is some really good news. Oh, man, the boys are going to flip. Holy crap. That's sick, man. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's sick. That's so sick.
Thank you so much, man. That is ridiculous. I'm actually with two of the boys at the moment. They can overhear it, and they're like almost crying.
Wait, so we'd be playing for like opening up for Arctic? Holy yeah, sweet, absolutely, lock us in 100%. What is happening?
Oh, it brings a smile to my face listening to that.
That made me smile too.
Yeah, how was it going through the shortlist for you guys of the bands?
Yeah, difficult because there was so many, you know, and actually the quality was much higher than I had expected or anticipated. So kudos to Australia for producing some good quality bands. You know, I just listening to the reactions there, it's, you know, I guess you get pretty disconnected. It's interesting to hear that people are happy about playing with us.
They are. They were really stoked. There's going to be a different unearthed artist at every sideshow, mm-hmm. and there's plenty of them. If you're in Brisbane, you can catch them on Tuesday, 2nd of May at Max Watts. A bunch of Melbourne shows have sold out, but the one you can still see is on the 4th of May at the Prince.
No, that's sold out now. Sorry,
that's
guys.
Sold out too. So every Melbourne show sold out.
Yeah, there's Damn. A Sydney show. There's a Sydney show.
There's a Sydney show.
I've been told by the higher ups. Sydney show at the Metro Theatre.
10th of May.
Yeah, people apparently should go to it.
Yep. You've already sold out one Metro Theatre.
Sold one Metro Theatre, but the other one currently still has tickets left. And this is, quite frankly, a disaster.
And the disaster continues in Frio as well. You still have some tickets to pick up.
Let's not even talk about that. Because, yeah.
On the 5th of May in Melbourne at that sold-out show, this is the band you will be hearing from Unearthed, chosen by Architects, the beautiful monument. This song is called Manifestation. Dan, thank you so much for joining us, and have
My
a great
pleasure.
Time at Groovin' the Moo.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You're on Triple J with Veronica and Lewis, and we were sent a song. We get sent a lot of music at Triple J. Not all of it we get a chance to listen to, but this one really piqued our interest in it. Had a hell of a tale behind it. It was written for an individual person. Wasn't really meant for everybody to hear. But then the guy who wrote it thought, Veronica and Lewis might get a kick out of this. And kick we got. We are kicked all the way. Daniel from Byron Bay is on the line. How you doing, Daniel?
Good, guys. How you going?
Yeah. Nice. Hey, thanks so much for getting in touch with us about this amazing situation you found yourself in. Tell us the story from start to finish.
Well, start to finish. So I had surgery on my arm, so I decided to move up to Byron Bay for about 5 months. And so I've been living up there since. And I'd been going to get coffee every day at a certain cafe called the Macadamia Castle. And every day I turned up, I'd order the same coffee. I love a mocha, chocolate, love coffee beans.
Bold of you to admit that.
It's a good time. But anyway, so I kind of sparked up talking to the barista who made the coffees there. And like, you know, I'm a little bit shy sometimes. So it was kind of like, I'm not sure if she's, you know, I'm piquing her interest or not. And then one day she was saying that she was going to go home and watch Vikings. And I couldn't help but draw parallels between the two. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and write a Vikings-inspired ballad for this chick to ask her out.
So you were drawing comparisons between Vikings and the fact that you go to a cafe called a castle.
Yeah. I know, it's a bit strange, I know, but it's just what, you know, just how my mind works, I guess. And so, yeah, I went home, recorded about a 2-minute song for her asking her out on the date.
So this is how the song goes.
The castle, I live on the hill. You make beautiful markers, give me chocolate thrills. You've got a beautiful smile, lights up the room. So will you go on a date with me?
Oh, Daniel, it's so beautiful. I love
it. It's ultimate cheese, but I think it's a bit funny, and it was like, the way that I thought of it was probably the most authentic way I could represent myself. So that's what it was, and it came out doing something a bit different and a bit out of, like, left field, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so how did you deliver it? What was the format?
I put it onto a USB and like a little note kind of saying, I really hope you don't think I'm a complete weirdo for doing this, but hey, why not? I'll just chuck it out there. And sure enough, she sent me a text back, which was a real nice touch. She'd drawn a coffee cup and in Nordic writing said, I'd love to go on a date.
Oh!
Yeah.
In Nordic riding.
But yeah, so we had a couple of dates. It's not a fairy tale end to the story, unfortunately. The sparks weren't really there between us.
Oh.
But I mean, it was nice to just put myself out there and like kind of do something refreshing, because like before, I was in a relationship before, and like when I got into that, Tinder and that wasn't around. So when you get out of it, it's a whole new like playing field, really. And like I was just like, what do I do now?
Yeah, I mean, forget Tinder now. It's all about love songs for you. You've had some success.
Set the bar up for myself pretty high now, but that's all good.
Well, we were very impressed, Daniel. I'm sorry it didn't end up well, but you know, still these things happen. And
no,
we were just we loved that you shared it, and we just generally were like, it made us wonder and want to hear other people's like grand gesture stories, whether it was like love or apology or anything. Like, I've never had a love song written about me. Veronica has, in fact, a guy from our school.
I have. I've tried to track it down heaps, but I've never been able to. It was called Little White Lies. I actually think it was negative. Yeah, he wasn't into me.
Sorry, I'm over the top of you.
No, you go. Come on.
No, I was just saying, it was like, I thought with it as well, it's like, either way, even if this doesn't work, at least someone feels like special enough to have something nice about them done.
Yeah.
Like, especially randomly. So it's kind of like, why not? Just go put yourself out there.
All right. Yeah, send us your stories of grand gestures.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.